If you have questions for Don Manzullo, our number is 874-TALK, 874-8255 on WNTA. One of the first things first, I want to thank you for being part of my 50th celebration. You've been a friend for a long time, and I appreciate that you were part of my great broadcast day. It was a total surprise to me, and I don't know who called you to tell you about it, but I appreciate whoever did. It was
The president called, and he said, Congressman, could you get a hold of that?
Yeah. I know Barack is the only high-ranking person that wasn't on the show that day. He was probably busy.
If he had known about it, he would have called.
He would have called.
The guy who was best at that was Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Boy, would he roll those phone calls.
He was really...
And George Bush. Yeah.
They were both real people. The jury is still out how this presidency will go, but I'm very concerned about the future of our country under this administration. And now it's kind of funny. I had a lot of things in my mind to talk to you about, but I might as well talk about it as long as you brought up Barack Obama. And Gibbs, his secretary, might be on the way out. I don't know. I haven't read the tea leaves of that totally.
I hope.
He's speaking his mind, and it can get you in trouble. First of all, if he does go, every president loses those people in the terms of their office, right? These guys come and go.
But Doug, some pundits believe that Gibbs did that purposely.
Yeah,
A way to show that you're more moderate than you really are is to come out and lash the left, who have nowhere to go anyway. And just to say, they said that they wouldn't be satisfied if Dennis Kucinich were president. Well, Obama's more liberal than Kucinich.
Yeah, that's fine.
I happen to know Dennis Kucinich, and he was against TARP. And would you believe that?
No, I didn't know that.
When the TARP vote came up in October of 2008, Dennis Kucinich and Brad Sherman, who were with the very liberal wing of the House of Representatives, the progressive wing, teamed up with the Republican caucus, Republican study committee, which is very conservative. I'm a member of that. And we shared notes, we shared speakers, we shared very important data. And the first vote on TARP, we voted it down. And that was extraordinary. Because once in a while, members of Congress will have the opportunity to vote along pure policy levels and completely rip the politics out of it. It was very interesting to sit here with Dennis Kucinich and share notes.
In the Congress right now, or in the House, or in the whole body of politics, the days of the Tip O'Neill on one side and the Ronald Reagan on the other side seem to be gone. In other words, unless there's something we're not seeing, you're there in the heart of the whole thing. We're just seeing and here. But in those days, we kind of felt that there was a little more camaraderie, even though they had differences of opinion. It seemed that they were more likely to have a cup of coffee or a scotch or something after their day's work and get together and work things out. So the Reagan-Tip alliance kind of thing, is there any of that going on in Washington right now? Does Obama have anybody on the Republican side that he confides in and is friendly with?
No, it's pretty well polarized. But, Doug, I'm in a unique position there because probably 75% of my work involves manufacturing. And
a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
That's good.
And the work that I do on manufacturing is not only bipartisan, it's nonpartisan. Let me give you an example. 3 years ago, in fact, it was the first term that the Democrats had come back in power, was probably one of the most successful terms I've had in Congress. I do, when you're involved in manufacturing, it's everything from minerals through export control. And in between, you have production, you have financing, currency evaluations, etc. And I sit on the Financial Services Committee and on Foreign Affairs Committee. And so those are two natural matches for anybody who loves manufacturing and spends as much time as I do. But... I put together what we call the Export Control Working Group, and I picked two liberal Democrats to work with me, Earl Blumenauer from Oregon and Joe Crowley from the state of New York. And I was in the minority. I set up the special group. I picked the two of them. Why? Because they were the best. And we worked very hard for almost 2 years to change two paragraphs on the Export Administration Act, Section 17B. But the bottom line is that as a result of getting that changed, we export billions of dollars more in aircraft parts than we did before. I mean, it was an astounding change. We worked with the Aerospace Industry Association, and then it was the Bush administration that went along and figured out what we were doing. I rewrote the regulation on it. It was adopted by the Department of Commerce. I mean, that was astounding. Today, we're working on two other very important changes to the Export Administration Act. In fact, the entire change. And 2 months ago, I got a call from Gary Locke, who is the Secretary of Commerce, Democrat, sitting under President Obama. Again, because I spend so much time on manufacturing, both sides recognize that. They come to me with issues involving that, and we sit down, and Doug, we get them resolved. And that helps a lot of jobs in our area.
Very good. We'll be back and talk about what's in the paper today, of course, about the trade gap. Allegedly, we're selling fewer products around the world, and this month the report came in, and this trade gap is widening and all that, but that's not exactly what you were talking about. You, obviously, we were talking about relationships with Democrats, Republicans. You've had some success stories with Dick Durbin for the state.
Yeah.
You guys worked together on something, So that's good to see. And we'll get back to that and other topics on WNTA. Right now we take a quick news break, and I'll be back with Congressman Manzullo on WNTA. If you have a question for the congressman, 874-TALK, 874-8255. And we're back with Don Manzullo, our congressman from the 16th Congressional District on WNTA. If you have any questions for Don Manzullo, our number is 874-TALK, 874-8255. I was just talking to Don off the air about meeting his lovely bride, Frida, who, and you're proud to say, for 4 years now, cancer-free, and it's a blessing. The red light there you go. Hit the little red light.
There we are.
Now you're on. And it was nice to see Frida at the Dick Morris speech. It was an hour of extemporaneous great speech. And, man, this guy, funny, the quips. The I'm so glad I went. It was Dave Severson's fundraiser at the Radisson. And I met Frida at that one, and she was at your Manzullo table.
We enjoyed Dick Morris. It's, I think, half of what he says is how he says it.
Yes.
And his expression,
his delivery. Yeah.
The man is absolutely magnetic, and he's probably prophetic.
And he's one of the few people I know that can laugh at what he says, and it still comes off well.
He's got
a natural way he has.
He tells a very interesting story that he was in the Democratic Party for years, and he just looks at what's happened there, and he says there's no place to go for him, so that's why he became a Republican.
Yeah, he said he was a conservative Democrat,
yeah.
He was alluding to the, I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth right now, but I got the feeling that he, early in the administration, was a real fan of Clinton, and Clinton basically at that time was still pretty conservative in a lot of things.
Well, compared to what we have now.
That's right.
But Clinton... Clinton was the ultimate politician. I remember the first time I met him was when we had the floods here in northern Illinois. And many of us members of Congress who represent districts along the river went to a special room to meet him. And he saw me about 25 feet away. And he was talking to Congressman Jack Brooks from Texas at the time. And Doug is remarkable. He kept his focus on Congressman Brooks, and with his eye, he invited me to come to him. Now, this is not an act. And so I went over there, and he quietly discharged Congressman Brooks, turned to me, he said, "Hi, I'm Bill Clinton." Well, I mean, I know, yeah, I'm sitting there, you know, I said, "Mr. President," I introduced myself, and he would look you in the eye, and even though, you know, obviously opposed a lot of his policies, he had the ability to listen to what you were saying and soak it in, and it was not an act. That's why he signed into law about 80% of the contract with America. He went against his own party and signed the massive welfare reform bill,
yeah,
which knocked about 70, which kept about 70% of the people off welfare rolls that got them into different jobs. So it's just a matter, you know, when you have the opportunity to work with somebody like that, who will sit down and open up the table, and then Senator Obama, because he has 60 votes, I'm sorry, President Obama, because he has 60 votes in the Senate and a huge majority in the House, really thought that the Republicans were irrelevant. And then when he couldn't get enough of his own votes, he blamed it on the Republicans.
Yeah. It looks to me, and Dick Morris alluded to this, and I'm sure you'll agree, that, I mean, the tea leaves look good right now, as of today, for what Republicans should do. But I wouldn't put anything past this president to pull certain things to look more centrist when it comes time for the election.
You know, that may happen. But, Doug, I am really, really concerned about the constituents that I represent. I mean, you know, I'm here all the time talking to people and trying to figure out, you know, what needs to be done. And Washington doesn't get it.
I think they would by now.
No, they don't, because they don't understand. They don't understand job creation.
Yeah.
You don't have employers hire people just because they get a tax break. Employers hire people because of increased sales.
Bingo.
And you can't. We can't spend our way out of this recession. We have to manufacture our way out of it.